Greek and Hebrew, and they don't have a scholar among them. Charles Taze Russell said he was a Greek scholar and a Hebrew scholar, and he didn't even know the alphabets of either language, let alone that was he a scholar of those languages. And when he bought that emphatic diglot from Benjamin Wilson's estate, it was nothing because that guy did not believe in the deity of Christ, and he went through, made a little interlinear and put it together without any foundation, truth, or grammar, or Greek study, and he latched onto that, bought those plates and the text, and they have been printing that thing. And they have lied about their grammar, things all down through the ages for the last 100 and something years. And their predictions have fallen flat on their faces, and they always had some excuse for that. The Lord was coming back and several different times, the last one 1978, and he's coming back all right. But he didn't come back in the years that they said he would. And as you deal with Jehovah's Witnesses, the one main thing that they'll do is they'll tear down the deity of Christ. Man is religious by nature, isn't he? What's religion mean anyway? Religion. Okay, religion. Here's the word. I used to teach English etymology, so I'm going to tear this word down and show you what this word means. Ion. That means the act of, or the state of being of. And this word comes from ligare. And that's where we get our word ligament from. A ligament binds something, all right? That means to bind. So we have the act of, the state of being, to bind. And then re, on the front of this, means back again. So what does this word religion mean? The act of binding back again. Man walked away from God in the Garden of Eden, and religion binds him back, or brings him back to God, where he walked away. It binds him back to his God. That's what religion does. Now, every man is religious. Okay? Man is religious by nature, because Romans, the first chapter, tells us that every man, without the Word of God, knows from his innermost being that there is a God. A baby, when it's born into this world, it comes to the knowledge of God. You have to teach it that there is not a God to make an atheist out of it. You have to teach it to not believe in God. And basically, that's what they're doing to our children in public schools, is teaching them that there is no God. All right? So he has a natural drawing to God, because he's not complete by himself, is he? You're not complete. You can have everything in this world and you're not going to be happy if you don't have that relationship, that interrelationship with God, because that is a vacuum. Nothing can fill that vacuum. Not all the money in the world, not all the cars, the houses, property, or women, or men, or whatever. It can't do it. That is something that's put there. That vacuum is put there for you to be drawn to God. Now, God has dealt with man in different ages in different ways, but there's always been one way of salvation all the way from the time of Adam to now. God dealt with Adam. He was his representative on this earth, and he kind of flopped, and Noah was, and Abraham was, and Israel was, and in this age the churches are of the Lord Jesus Christ, his representatives. The Lord called out his church on the seashores of Galilee. He said that he'd be with that church until he came back to get it again. He hadn't come back for it yet. So it's still in the world today. That church didn't fade away, didn't go away, it didn't cease to exist. And because the Lord said that he'd be with it until the end of the age. And because of that alone, there's no need for a Jehovah's Witness or anybody else in any other cult, because the Lord's churches are in the land. and they had the commission from God. And you can trace it all the way back to Christ, the teachings, the doctrines that they teach. You can be religious, but if you're wrong on God, it will send you to hell. I don't care how religious you are. There's only one way to come to God. What is that way? Through Jesus Christ. That is. And He is God. In Genesis 1 and 1, it says, Barashith bara Elohim eth hashemayim ve'eth ha'aretz. All right, that's what it says in Hebrew. In beginnings. That's where it starts off, in beginnings. All the beginnings. The absolute, utmost extremity of time. We're going to go to John 1 and 1 in a few minutes, I think today. And it says, in beginning. Kept on being the Word. Right here it says, in beginnings. Bara, when God, Elohim, Elohim, that's a plural name for God, by the way, Elohim. And the Jehovah's Witnesses will tell you this is the God, this is the God of heaven. This is the Father, okay? This is their idea. Their idea of God is the great big God, the Father, the little God, a little God, Jesus Christ, which came and was created by the big God, and then the Holy Spirit was just kind of a force. But as we study the scriptures, we're going to find out there is a triune God. There aren't three gods, by the way. There's only one. There's only one God. And we're going to study that from scriptures too. But that one God is manifested in three different ways, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And everything one of them does, the other one does. They do everything in unison together. There aren't three of them. There is one God. The physical expression of God is Jesus Christ. We're going to see that. We're going to look at it from scriptures. Now, as you study here in beginnings, when created, when God, this Elohim, which they will say this is the Father, everybody agrees this is God, okay, who created the heavens and the earth. God did. And then it says eth here. That's aleph and a tau. And who knows, how many of you know what the first and last letters of the Greek alphabet are? It's aleph and tau in Hebrew. What is it in Greek?
Alpha
and omega. And Jesus said that He was alpha and omega, and we're going to see that also. Well, here we have an aleph and tau, an alpha and omega in the first verse. This, and that's a sign of the direct object, by the way, in Hebrew. Aces is a somewhat similar in Greek. And then it says Hashemayim. It says the uplifted waters. Hashemayim. The uplifted waters, weeth, and haaretz, the earth. God created the heavens and the earth. Colossians now, go to Colossians in the New Testament. Colossians, book of Colossians. Book of Colossians in the New Testament. Colossians 1 and 16. Now who created the heavens and the earth in Genesis 1 and 1? By the word Genesis there, that means beginnings. We get our name, the book from the book of Genesis, from the Hebrew word for beginning, Genemai. Okay? The beginnings. That's what the book of Genesis means. Colossians 1, 16. Because in Him were created all the things in the heavens. Look at that. In the heavens. The Hashemayim. This is Uranos here in Greek. But in Hebrew it's Hashemayim, the heavens. And this is the same thing. This is going right back and referring right back to Genesis 1 and 1, isn't it? For in him, who is this him here? God. All right. God, but who is it specifically that Paul's talking to the church at Colossae about?
Elohim.
Huh?
Is that what he said, Elohim?
He said God.
Right.
Okay, but in Genesis 1 and 1, it's Elohim. All right. We're going to find out where God the Father calls Jesus Jehovah Elohim. Even.
Jesus.
In whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of the sins, actually the sending away of sins. That word aphason there, that is the same word that's used in the Septuagint in the Old Testament as a scapegoat. The scapegoat. It's called aphason, the scapegoat, the one that carried away the sins. He is our scapegoat. We are like Barabbas. Barabbas was a guilty one. He was a criminal. And he got to walk. Jesus went to the cross. We are like Barabbas. We got to walk. Jesus went to the cross. The forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the God. Remember what I said? He's a pressed out image. That's exactly. He's the icon. The image of the God. The invisible. It says, the one not able to be seen, the firstborn of all the creation. That's what it says in King James, isn't it? The firstborn of all creation. They're firstborn. It actually should say the head of all creation. He's the head of all the creation. Because in him they were created, the things in the heavens and epitages, and the things upon the earth. The things upon the earth. It says in Genesis 1 and 1, and God, Elohim, created the heavens with haaretz and the earth. All right? And things upon the earth, the visible things that you can see, and the invisible things, whether they be thrones or lordships or rulers or authorities, the things all through him and by him were created. And he was before all things. Before all things. Genesis and John 1 and 1, in beginning, kept on being the Word. All right? Do you see how these verses tie together? Going a little bit further now. On to Colossians. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 4. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 4. Now I need that Bible. What does the word Deuteronomy mean? Deuteros nomos. That's what it comes from. Deuteronomy. That's a Greek word too, isn't it? The second law. The second giving of the law. The explanation of the law. The expounding on the law. That's what the word Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy says, hear, O Israel. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord, Jehovah, our Eloha, the Jehovah is one. Our God is one God. How many gods? Not one big one and two little ones. Or one big one and one lesser one. And then a force. But it says the Lord our God is one God. One God. The Lord, our God, is one. And you know what? Over and over and over again, Israel says that. over and over again in their synagogue services. Hear, O Israel, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God. Remember that. Okay. Isaiah, the 43rd chapter. Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah 43 and 10 through 14. In verse 10, are you there? I want you to miss this. You can go all the way back up to verse 3 if you want to and just look at a piece of that verse. For I am the Lord your God. For I am Jehovah your Elohim, Eloha, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. All right? Now look down here in verse 10. Now one time the Jehovah Witnesses, this is how they got their name. They were given this name to them. Their leader says, this is your revelation. When he didn't come back, when the Lord didn't come back, he said, well, I have another gift for you. You've got a new name now. You're going to be called Jehovah Witnesses. You're going to be called the Witnesses. Verse 10 says, ye are my witnesses, declares the Lord. That's the Lord there. Who is that? You could say Jesus, couldn't you? I want to tell you, Brother Don, do they witness concerning Jesus as God?
No.
No. Everything but, don't they?
Right.
They say Jesus is not God. So are they his witnesses? The book of Revelation says, and Peter says, in the last days, and John, it says, in the last days, many antichrists will come. Antichrist, what is an antichrist? Someone that speaks against Christ. And that's exactly what you have. Plainly. How much more plain could you be an antichrist than to say that he was never raised from the grave? 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, tells you what the gospel is. The gospel is that Jesus Christ was to come in the earth, that Jehovah was to come. He was to come according to the scripture. He was to live. He was to die. And he was to be raised again according to the scriptures. They say that he was never raised. Whatever happened to the man Jesus, they don't know. He was only a spirit after that. But it says, ye are my witnesses, declare the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen. Now they were God's administrators of his kingdom in the world at that time, weren't they? They were responsible to God. In this age, the churches are responsible to God, not Charles Taze group, not Charles Taze Russell's. They came a little too late. They weren't over there in Galilee when the Lord called them out. In order that you may know and believe me. All right? In order that you may know me and believe me and understand that I am he. All right? And before me there was no God formed. Who's this talking here? Who is it? They would say it's the Father. But what does the rest of the verse say? The great God Elohim created the lesser God Jesus or Michael. He who is like God. Now what's the rest of the verse? And there will be none after me. Even I am. Look at that word I am there, that eternal I am. I am the Jehovah. What does the word Jehovah mean? We say that word so easily today, but it was an unspeakable word in the Old Testament times. They never spoke the word. They couldn't speak it. It was not pointed. It's four consonants. And you can't speak a Hebrew word unless it's pointed with vowels. It never had any vowels to be able to even be spoken. And they referred to the title Jehovah as the Word or as Adonai. And when John wrote the gospel, according to John, when he wrote the word Word in there, they knew exactly who it was talking about, the unspeakable one. the unspeakable one. Even I am the Lord, even I am Jehovah, and there is no Savior besides me. Now, Jehovah's Witnesses say that God Almighty, the Father, created a lesser God, and that He became the Savior. But what does the Bible say here? These are own verses that they put all over their writings. What does it say? There's no God before me, and none going to be after me, and there is no Savior but me. And this is talking about Jehovah here. He who shall become. That's what Jehovah means. The becoming one. Genesis 1 and 1. In beginnings created God the heavens and the earth. And in verse 2 is the very first word, root of the word Jehovah that we see in the Bible. And it says there in verse 2, and the earth, she became formless and void. She became third person singular, cal preterite feminine verb. That's what it is. She became hakia. She became formless and void. She became. And that word became is the root of the word Jehovah, he who shall become. And every time you see the word was translated in the Old Testament, substitute the word became for it, and you'll understand it better, because there was no word for was in Hebrew. It all is a transition from one state to the earth. The earth, she became formless and void. Something happened to her. And God said, let there become light. And not light was, but light, what? Became. Became. And the first day was, no, became. All of this is became, not was, but became. Okay, throw that one there along with the rest of this, okay? Isaiah. Going on a little bit further. Even I am the Jehovah, and there is no Savior besides me. It is I who have declared and saved and proclaimed. I have done this. Jehovah Witnesses say Jesus was a messenger of God. He is called the angel of God in places, but the angel Jehovah is another title of Jehovah. All right. He was a messenger, all right. But he was God the messenger. It is I who have declared and saved and proclaimed. There was no strange God among you, so ye are my witnesses, declares the Jehovah. And I am El. I am God. I am. And Jesus said that he was this I am. In the 10th chapter of John, and the Jews wanted to kill him because he said that I am God. And they plainly said why they wanted to kill him, because he said that he was Jehovah. And they had a calyptian fit. They grabbed up stones to kill him. From eternity, I am he. He keeps saying, Haya, I am he. I am he. I am the eternal one, is what he's saying. I am the eternal one. And when Jesus said, you say that you knew Abraham? He said, before Abraham, I am he. Right there. He was quoting the Old Testament in so many places. From eternity, I am he, and there is none who can deliver out of my hand. I act, and who can reverse it? Thus says the Jehovah, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. And by the way, that's in the oblative idea there, of Israel. It shouldn't be of Israel, but it means out of Israel. Jesus was raised in Nazareth. The word Nazareth means root. It says that he would be a root out of dry ground, a root. Jesus was our kinsman redeemer, and it came through the nation of Israel. He came through the nation. He says, I am the Redeemer, the Holy One out of Israel. All right. I came from the bloodline, from the line of Shem. Shem means what? Name. All right. And that one goes back to Zeth, doesn't it? Zeth means what? Substitute. All of these names meant something in the Old Testament. All right. Let's go on a little further. Isaiah 44. That's just a little bit further. Isaiah 44 and verse 6. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, Jehovah Sabaoth. His Redeemer, Jehovah Sabaoth. Did you know that in the New Testament, Jesus is referred to as the Lord of hosts, the Lord of armies, Jehovah Sabaoth? That's one of the Jehovah titles. I've got about 20 of them, if you ever want them. Titles that Jesus fulfilled. I am the first and I am the last. He says, I am Aleph and I am Tau. I am Alpha and I am Omega. And there is no God besides me. There is no God besides me. Now the Jehovah Witnesses will tell you that this is the Father here. They'll tell you that's the Father. But who does it say here? The whole Jehovah Sabaoth? I am the first, I am the last. Who's it talking about?
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ. Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. I am ego eimi again. The same words that got him nearly stoned in the 10th chapter of John. Ego eimi, to alpha kai to un lege kurios pothios. Ho un kai ho ein kai ho erkomenos. Ho panto kratur. Boy, that's something right there.
What verse are you in?
Revelation 1 and 8. I am the Alpha. I am the Alpha. And you could say I am, because that sentence is tied together and still talking about the same person. I am the Omega. He says the Lord, the God, the Lord God, Jehovah Elohim. That's what it means right there. And if you ask the Jehovah Witnesses who's this talking about, they will say the Father. They'll say this is the Father. But who is this? This is Jesus. And what does the name Jesus mean? Jehovah saves. That's what Jesus means. The one being and the one who kept on being. This is referring back to John 1 and 1, remember? That's what it's talking about here. The one being and the one who kept on being and the one coming and the God Almighty. And the God Almighty. God Almighty. That's quite a term right there. Now they will say that is God the Father. Now turn to the 22nd chapter of the book of Revelation. That's to the end of the book. 22nd chapter of the book of Revelation. Chapter 22, verse 7. Angel's talking to John. By the way, John was a time traveler. He was a real time traveler. God took him from the island of Patmos and took him in the future. John saw things. He saw it with his own eyes. He saw the future. God lives in eternity, doesn't he? God in space and time became Jehovah in the flesh. In space and time. Back there when Jesus was born. He was limited in the body of Jesus Christ to space and time as a person of Jesus Christ. It says that Jesus Christ poured out all of his power, all of his glory to save us, that he could become the Savior. And there is only one Savior. I think it's in Colossians. we'll get to that a little bit. But he poured himself out and made himself no reputation. He was the God of heaven, the mighty one, the almighty. And that's what it said here in Revelation, the first chapter too. The almighty God, almighty, all-powerful, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent. He dropped that for a while to redeem us. He dropped all of the power that he had before and limited himself to time and space to redeem us. To redeem us. Because he had to be related to us to do it. The law of the kinsman redeemer. Behold, I come quickly. I am coming quickly. Revelation 1 and verse 7. The one keeping the words of this prophecy, of this scroll. It says, and I, John, saw these things and heard them. When I heard them, I fell down before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then he said unto me, see that thou don't do this, for I am your fellow servant and of your brethren, of the prophets, which keep the sayings of the book, worship God. Going a little further now. In verse 12, he says, I am Alpha and I am Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. All right? I am Alpha and Omega. Look at that. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. He wants you to make that plain clear. Who is this?
Jesus.
Jesus. All right? Blessed the ones washing the robes of them in order that they shall the authority of them over the tree of life and the gates they may enter into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Now who's talking here? Verse 16. Who is the Alpha and Omega? Who does he say he is? I, Jesus, sent the angel of me to witness to you these things. Who is the Alpha and Omega? I, Jesus. Who do the old Jehovah Witnesses say the Alpha and Omega is? God. The Father. How many gods are there? One God.
Yet they worship two.
They worship two gods. And they say that we are polytheists. Polytheist is one that believes in many gods. You know, I believe in one God. That visible expression of that God is Jesus Christ. He became flesh to redeem me. Brother Fred.
Going back to Genesis 1 and verse 26.
Mm-hmm.
He says there, and God says, let us make man in our image.
Mm-hmm.
Who is he meaning, the us?
Elohim. That's a plural form. A plural form. It meant the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, they'll just say that's Jehovah. They'll just say that's Jehovah God. But Jehovah God is Jesus. He is the fulfillment of that Jehovah title. Jehovah means he who shall become. Now, Let's go to John 1 and 1. And Brother Don, I didn't get to this over there. If you only had one verse in the Bible to prove the deity of Jesus Christ, this is the one verse in the Bible that will absolutely, without a shadow of a doubt, what I was trying to tell those people when they're going out the door, I said, I'm going to prove to you who Jehovah is beyond a shadow of a doubt, that you'll never have to guess or anything ever again, if this will settle it from now on for all eternity. I had a Jehovah Witness translate this verse for me one time, and she was a grammarian. She teaches Spanish, and she knows grammar very well, but she didn't know what I was doing. N-R-K Ain Ho Logos I O Logos Ain Pros Tone Theon Kai Ho Logos Ain Theos. Now, right off the bat, in some of your Greek texts, it's going to say Theos, Ain, Ho, Logos. It doesn't really make any difference. The last part of this verse is a predicate nominative, and you can put this on either side or switch all of them, put a definite article in front of the or God or whatever, and it doesn't make any difference. I'm going to explain that to you just a little bit. This is your favorite tape, isn't it, Brother Jim? All right, Ain, RK, Ain, Ho, Logos, Kai, Ho, Logos, Ain, Prostone, Theon, Kai, Ho, Logos, Ain, Theos.
10 minutes.
10 minutes?
Yeah,
10 minutes?
Yeah, 10 minutes.
All right. In, and our English word comes right straight out of that Greek word, in beginning. Does it sound like Genesis? In beginning. That's locative, singular, feminine, first declension word in Greek. And this is a little preposition. And you can find that on page 137 in Benjamin Davidson's analytical Greek lexicon, if you want to. Ain. That's third person singular, imperfect, indicative, active. That comes from Amy, and that is kept on being. And we saw that in the book of Revelation too, didn't we? Then we have whole logos. Nominative, singular, masculine, definite article, and it just is a the. By the way, there is no indefinite article in Greek. What is an indefinite article? What? Or A. A or N. There is no indefinite articles in Greek. That's an invention of the Jehovah Witnesses. They also invented a tense that they put in one of their Bibles. It was called the perfect indefinite perfect tense. The perfect indefinite tense. There is no such thing as a perfect indefinite tense in Greek. All right. The word. And if you really translated that word there, you would have to be, who is it talking about? Jehovah. Jehovah. And the Jehovah, the unspeakable name, in beginning kept on being the Jehovah. When did Jehovah begin? Is he the eternal one? Is he the Alpha and the Omega, the Aleph and the Tau, the beginning, the first and the last? Isn't he? That's exactly what it says right up there. He kept on being. He kept on being. Chi, that's a conjunction, an and. And on page 208 in Benjamin Davidson's Analytical Greek Lexicon, you can look up that word if you want to. All right? And then ho, the, nominative singular, masculine, definite article, the Jehovah, again, same one. What is this word? Third person singular, imperfect, indicative, active. He kept on being. He kept on being toward, face to face. Actually, that's what it means right there. That's what that means. He kept on being an integral part. Ear, not separatable.
Like with?
Well, like, not more than with.
More than
like that. Okay? And that's the word picture. It's just like that. That's what it means. He kept on being toward, a little preposition, pros ton theon, the God. Now the Jehovah Witnesses will tell you this is the Father. Will they not? Am I telling you the truth? Don's had a whole bunch of experience with these people lately. All right? And that's accusative, singular, masculine, definite, article. See tone and theon. See how an omicron nu on the end of that word, or on? On the end of it? That says that this and number, gender, and case agrees with the definite article that's describing it. Okay? And that's the accusative case. Accusative, singular, masculine. That agrees with that, okay, grammatically. And then we have another and. Another conjunction. Refer back up to the other one there. And then we have the, again, the nominative, singular, masculine, definite article. Not an indefinite article, no such thing. You can't find one in Greek. It's nowhere to be found. I don't care how many books you look in, grammars, analytical lexicons, you're never going to find an indefinite article in Greek. No A's, no ands.
There it is.
Right, yeah, I know. They got it right there.
Right there.
It's lion. Yeah. Black and white lion, okay? The Jehovah or Jesus. All right. And the Jesus, he kept on being the God. When Jesus became flesh, did he cease being God?
No.
No. He did not. When he became flesh, he did not cease being God. He continued to be God because God had to become flesh to redeem us and buy us out of sin. He had to pay the cost. He was our scapegoat, the aphason, the scapegoat. All right? The Word kept on being God. Now this is a nominative singular masculine definite article. Nominative singular masculine. A linking verb here is the same thing as an equal sign in mathematics. The thing on this side of the equal sign and on that side of the equal sign are one and the same. And this is nominative singular masculine. Second to Galician Greek word, by the way. Nominative, singular, masculine, secondly, Galician Greek word. Number, gender, and case. This is the same as this over here. You could say the Jehovah or the Word kept on being the God. Or the God kept on being the Word. The same. You can't get away from that one, my friends. It is grammatically true. How many of you think that John the Apostle knew Greek grammar? Huh? How many knew? This is the one that wrote this by the inspiration of God. Do you think John knew what he was writing about? The Jehovah's Witnesses will tell you that he knew what he was writing about. But when you get them down, when you find somebody that knows enough about the Bible to go into this much detail, they don't want to stay there. because they have nothing to say. I talked to one of the elders 2 or 3 years ago. Like I said, she was a grammarian. She teaches. One of her jobs is to teach Spanish. I drew the Greek up here, and I drew out what it was down below, grammatically. And I came down here, and I said, now what is this? Number, gender, and case is the same as this over here. Oh, she said, that's a linking verb, and that's a predicate nominative. And I said, all right. So the same thing here is exactly the same thing over here. And she said, yes. Number, gender, and case. And she said, oh, yes, there, that's the same here as this over here. Just like Spanish. I said, okay. Now let's translate it. And I said, in beginning, kept on being the Word. And the Word kept on being toward the God. And the Word kept on being God. And she said, yes, that's right. I said, this is that over there. And she said, the same person, gender and name. And then she said, no, I don't believe that. No. I said, what's wrong? She said, I don't believe that. I said, do you think John knew what he was writing about? She said, I don't want to talk. I don't want to talk about it. I don't believe that. She said, my mother was Jehovah's Witnesses. I don't want to hear it. I don't believe that. I don't believe it. Does the Bible teach this? Don't be afraid to study the Word of God. Because the Word of God, if you're in the truth, it will complement and build up your faith. If you're in error, it will tear your faith in error to pieces. I've got a lot more.